morning. Good morning. You are listening to the Home Improvement Show right here on KMOX. I'm your host, Rich Orris, and it's great to have you with me, you joining me this Saturday morning. It's a beautiful, beautiful day out there. Really sunny, 78, they just said, for the high. Perfect weather to tackle a lot of those outdoor projects you've been putting off. And don't forget, Mother's Day. Mother's Day's tomorrow. If you've been promising mom a new light fixture, a fresh coat of paint, or just to finally fix that squeaky door, this might be the time to get your advice. For the next 2 hours, we're talking all things about your home, repairs, remodeling, upgrades, whatever's on your mind. I am here to help you and to make some smart decisions for your home. Whether it's big renovations or small fixes, we could work everything and anything in between. You can give me a call, 314-436-7900. Again, get ready, write this down. It's 314-436-7900. I would love to hear from you today. I would love to hear what you're getting ready for. What's going on for Mother's Day? What are you trying to accomplish today with this great weather that you need to be ready for tomorrow? And of course, flowers, the planting, potted plants around, always doing all those kind of tasks for Mother's Day. It looks like we've got a perfect weekend for it. We've got a perfect 2 hour show for you today. No Cardinals till a little bit later on this afternoon. So that's good news for everybody. We've got plenty of time to get your topics, your questions, your concerns in on the air, and some answers and advice right back at you. And wanted to start off with a little bit of a shout out today for one of my coworkers, compadres, somebody I've been around for all of my time at Mosby Building Arts, because one of our project managers, John Yoko, has just this past week, it was his 25th anniversary at Mosby Building Arts. So that is the longest. He is the oldest besides anybody with Mosby at their last name. So he has been around longer than anybody in the company. We've got a couple others, a few others that have been here a little bit longer even than I have, kind of between me and John. So Justin Lane just had his 24th, and Oleg Pogorny is having his 24th, and there's a few of us all up there that have just, we love what we do, we love who we're doing it for, we love Scott and Judy Mosby, and just how this company works and runs and focuses on everything, kind of just for not just the clients, but for us, not just for us, but for some of our outside sourced trade partners that we use. We think about kind of everything across the board. And so our vision to be the best in class, our mission is to set and crush expectations. And then we've got a bunch of core values with creativity and accountability and teamwork, integrity, and family. So we focus on these type of subjects to make us better at the actual work progress and subject of helping and remodeling your homes and getting to great projects and just kind of performing everything quite a bit different. So performing everything quite a bit different right here today, every Saturday coming in. My kind of desire here is to enhance all of the listeners' lives. Let's and enhance your homes and continuously delivering the best, the most reliable advice and outperforming all you guys, the listeners' expectations is my goal and what I'm trying to achieve every Saturday. So it just makes you work harder, think differently, and try and achieve more when you have these goals and topics and desires and visions and missions, and you understand the direction and what is trying to be achieved. And once you kind of also learn in a company like Mosby Building Arts, all of that, then you start to understand that it's real and you see it from everybody. And then you really kind of go, okay, yeah, I can get into this. And this is just kind of an awesome, great thing that we're trying to achieve. And in our industry, we do realize that we're all humans. In our company, we've got 100 and something, I think it's somewhat over 130 human employees that are working and trying and focused and doing their best, but things happen to the house, things happen in the weather, in the delivery, and then things happen because we are a bunch of humans and we're not perfect. Sometimes we try and attempt things that the best laid plans we think is going to work out just wonderfully. And then in the end, we're like, wow, that didn't work out too well. And now I should do something about that because it really could have, should have, and would have been better done or performed differently or handled differently. So understanding, learning from your mistakes and going through everything to try and figure out what's happening. It's just the attempt of being better. Like they say, no one's perfect, but trying to achieve perfection will always get the best results and get the best results more often, but it will never be 100% of the time and it's never going to be perfect. And then it comes down to now, as a company, as people, as performing jobs, when we do have something like that happen, what happens then? What's the integrity? How do you handle it? How do you get things resolved? How do you get back to doing the best thing possible to get everything back on track? And I could say right now, there's been a lot of rain and a lot of rain delays. So us here at Mosby, like every company out there performing any type of exterior work, any type of room addition, adding on anything outside, landscaping, it's all being shifted. It's all being worked as best we can. And it's causing things to happen to our homes too, where some of them it's changing the job that we're looking at and figuring out as we're doing this, now that we've had all this rain happen, wow, it's kind of changed circumstance. So now we got to shift and swing the job a little bit because we've just figured something out that maybe we didn't know before we had a ton of rain in April and beginning of May. So it is wonderful that we've got a great weekend. It is wonderful that there's not a lot of precipitation in the forecast and great temperatures and the sun is out. And let's get everything done for our mothers. I'd love to answer some questions maybe to help some of our mothers out this weekend with their home. So again, you can give me a call right here today. Phone lines are wide open, 314-436-7900. Don't go anywhere. We're going to get into a quick break and we'll have more home improvement show to come right after this. All right, everyone, loyal listeners alike, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show right here live with me, Rich Orris, here to help you out, answer any questions you may have all about around your home, inside out, upside down, doesn't matter. Give me a call, 314-436-7900. We can help you out today. We can help you with that to-do list for your mother. What are you trying to accomplish before tomorrow? Just this morning, as I'm getting ready to walk out, get ready and walk out the door and come here, my wife's got the list. She's like, oh gosh, we got to do this. We got to do that. Can you do that? I've got all this house stuff to get prepared for tomorrow. So I know there's a lot going on. Again, feel free. Lines are wide open, 314-436-7900. And speaking of the rain, the weather, hearing on the news an earthquake this morning, just all the different storms that we've had this spring, how it seems to most of us that it seems to be getting more often. It seems to be getting a little worse when it happens. There seems to be 18 tornadoes instead of one or two or three. Just the magnitude of everything happening. And when I kind of look back at April, I found it kind of interesting that we almost hit 11 inches of rain in the St. Louis area, 10.85, which surpassed the previous record, which literally was 10.84, but that was back in 1893. So that was a long time ago. So when we look at this happening, it has happened before. It's just, has it been in our time? Has it been when we've seen it? And how often is it happening now that we're seeing it? So looking through April, it was pretty amazing because we had some really big storms that were an inch or more of rain. That happened about five times. One storm early April was 3.5 inches of rain. So it added up pretty quickly, but overall we had precipitation in our area 19 out of the 30 days in April, which is a lot. So guess what? Hey, I cut my grass last night. It looks fantastic, as do a lot of the yards around me, around St. Louis. This rain is great for all of that. And another thing my wife was commenting on when we left to do a little shopping last night to get ready for Sunday and for Mother's Day, on how great the lawn work looks and everything. And she says, yep, well, wait till July. It'll be half brown. It'll be back to normal. And so it's a good thing, but then it also causes different issues with our homes. It causes different leaks, things we haven't seen. A lot of times those are things that have been there. It hasn't changed. Your house's circumstance hasn't changed, but maybe you've seen it once or twice and now you've seen it again. And it's because of the way these storms are and how the winds blow and does it hit a certain side of the house. So there's a lot of issues that you might have that you just don't understand and don't know about because it's a condition of the way that the house was built. And then, of course, you get this much rain and it causes widespread flooding across multiple regions with rivers and other problems of if you're in those areas and you're sandbagging and you're trying to keep that water back. So there's so much that can happen during a heavy rain spring like we are in the midst of. And again, remember, if you have anything like this going on, you have any questions about why this may happen every year or two or three, why have you fixed it? And maybe you fixed it a couple times and now it seems to be back again. There's a lot of circumstances with our homes that are just a system of the way things are put together and the way they were built at different times, at different ages of homes. So I encourage you to feel free to call in anything you got going on. We'll do everything we can to help you out today. 314-436-7900. But that's kind of my stick on the rain as far as so much going on. And we have a lot of these conversations of when these are happening and issues that develop and happen with our homes. And I've seen some interesting ones in the past couple, two or three weeks. and a lot of this from running around and visiting and seeing some damage and seeing some leaks and seeing issues with front porches that I can go over. Got a lot that we can kind of look at today. One of the things I like to do is kind of take some of the conversations that I have and extract the questions that come about during these meetings, during these conversations with everybody out there. And it's amazing. And I do love what I do because I get to meet and talk with so many different people, different types of people. And I get to hear all these different situations and plans and the short-term person in their home, the long-term, how we look at what are you trying to accomplish with you in your home. It's very similar to what we just listened to prior to this show with the finance, when he kind of describes, let me take your retirement accounts, let me take all your finances and your future savings and everything you're going to do, and let me examine that against your lifestyle, against how you live and what do you like to do and what do you have to support and what are you trying to achieve once you get to retirement to help set that up and make that plan. So I'm running around on a daily basis kind of doing that exact same thing. I'm just not doing it for a little bit for your finances because of thinking about the types of projects and the investments and how much are you putting where and when does that help you? When does it make sense? But also that same kind of look and question about each individual, their home, their situation, their family. Conversations are much different when families have 5 or 6 kids versus maybe 1 or 2. The goals and what everyone's trying to achieve changes a lot based on situations like that. So it's a look and a gaze into kind of your personal family thought space, time, how long you've been in the home, how long you intend to stay in the home plays a huge factor in the decision-making for your home and choosing everything from different types of companies. Like when Mosby Building Arts walks in and delivers this wonderful 10-year workmanship warranty, well, it used to not be transferable, but now it is, because I was just kind of going over some of the statistics last week about how people are living in their homes shorter and shorter, and we're down to about 6-year average, 5.5, 6.5 years kind of on an average, when it used to be, when you think of like way back when people lived in their homes, they never left them. They lived in their homes for 30 years, 40 years. They got passed down. It's a great thing to be able to do. Now it shifts and people are moving 5, 6, 7 years all the time, upgrading, changing for their families. So consider kind of remodeling some of that and maybe staying in that home and keeping that lower payment and being able to get that home close to paid off. Everybody's so used to just having a payment the whole time that when you get towards retirement, when you get towards the end, having that paid off and being able to prep that house for a long-term stay and maybe even a pass it down. This is a big conversation I'm having constantly with everybody on what are your intentions for this home? Because I might recommend different levels of a project or different levels of repairing a project based on that answer. And I'll give you all 3, all 4, all 2, whatever different scenarios and situations of what could happen, but I'll deliver it in a way that you can make a good educated decision for your time and investment and usage out of the home that you're going to be in. And that's a big goal that we're trying to achieve every day, every week, the way we figure and schedule and look and design and look at your projects as a group, as a team with multiple eyes and talk about different scenarios and everything that can happen. A lot of value in performing all of that and doing all of that just to try and be an advisor and get you to a great position, a great spot for what you're planning to do. So I can go over more and bring in some of those questions and topics and conversations that I have, but we can also get with you and we can get to your topic, your question, your conversation, what you need today also. So we're here for you. 314-436-7900. We're going to jump into a break here, and then we will be back briefly. Plenty more home improvement to come. Stick with us. All right, back, everybody, back with more home improvement show for you. Rich Orr's here for you today. Anything you need, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there in advance for tomorrow. We love you. Hopefully, you're getting some things performed around the house, getting your honey-do list done, and getting some help around the house by all of those kids that celebrate Mother's Day with you, for you, and really hope and love to give you a great day tomorrow for all the mothers out there. And if you need any help with any of that, again, feel free to give me a shout, 314-436-7900. We got plenty of time, plenty of room for everybody. And speaking of calls, in the last week or so, we've had some really good conversations with a bunch of listeners out there. One we had last week with Frank was about the possibilities of repairing a laminate countertop. Unfortunately, the appliance dishwasher installers had chipped their countertop, and we kind of came to a conclusion and ended up with Frank in a way that it's probably best to go and easiest maybe to just get new countertops, update it, take advantage of the time and the situation, kind of take a lemon, make a little lemonade, and get some updating, get some better countertops, something you'll love and appreciate more. But the possibility in that you could repair this countertop. The hardship of it is finding someone that still wants to do that in kind of today's remodeling environment. We're kind of losing some of that worker kind of let me save this, let me fix this, let me prolong this. And a lot of this is happening, and we talk all the time about the labor shortage and the labor rates and what we're paying out to have good quality workers, and even in the unions with the plumbers and the carpenters and the electricians, and the rates just growing and growing in the new contracts, it just makes it harder and more expensive to do the repairs that require little to none on the material side and a lot on the labor side. And there's not just people running around making $8, $10, $12, $15 an hour anymore. It's way up there. It's way more expensive. So then you come to a spot where it's like, boy, if I even get into doing all of this, what am I really getting out of it in the end? And I've paid this much amount, a portion of something that I could have new, and I'm done, and I have the same thing that I had before. And if you're even kind of remotely thinking about doing something, anything like that, upgrading into anything or tackling a project, find out now, get information now, and move forward as quickly as you can, because we have seen in the remodeling industry, my whole career, my last 30 plus years, I've kind of watched the cost of performing this work go up 3, 4%, 5%, 6% a year all the time throughout all of the years. So when we look at a lot of these projects and you think back and people say, wow, well, man, that's a $40,000 project. And I spent $38,000 on this house in 1972. Well, that was a long time ago and things have increased. And now projects cost more than what we've even paid for a lot of our houses back in the past. And in the past 4 or 5 years, we have watched the remodeling, the materials, everything increase just straight to from 10 to 20% a year. So there was a couple years where it went up 20%. And so everything, and when that happens, it's not just the materials, it's the labor also that's involved in that. So consider that and consider what it is today and then look at it and think, if I come back 12 months from now and it's 5%, 10%, 20% more, how am I going to feel when I get there? When I go back and go, man, I'm yet in my career and in going through and performing a lot of these projects, even when I built them to now preparing them and helping get ready for them and letting our production team deliver these great jobs. I'm yet to hear any clients say, boy, I wish I would have waited. But I have heard multiple times when I've dealt with somebody on a project and we've looked at it and they're like, yeah, I just got to wait. That's kind of, I'm going to do. And they've come back 2, 3, 4. I've had them even 5 years later. And when they see the new price, they're all saying, boy, I wish I would have done that then. So I hear a lot of, I wish I would have done it back when, but I never really hear anybody 2, 3 years after the fact going, man, I really wish I would have waited, because you get to enjoy it. You get all these things. So think about getting through your projects and getting to them earlier to try and save some of that later. And of course, in today's environment, we're chasing down and we're trying to beat the threat of tariffs. I know it's happening to some and in the industry. We're watching the prices start to increase. We're getting all the emails again from window manufacturers, from plumbing manufacturers. Last week I got a quote for a toilet for a client, and attached to the quote was an increased price sheet that said, you've got 8 days to order this prior to the cost going up. Let's get this in the system. Let's get it to purchasing and let's get this thing bought to save money, because I literally have 8 days before it was about to go up. So we're seeing these increases, and I think some of them are because of, and then some of them are in anticipation of what some tariffs might start to do to the industry. But amazingly enough, when you look at the tariffs on specific materials, when you look at what tariffs might do to a project, again, I wouldn't let that slow you down. And I definitely, as an advisor, wouldn't say wait and see if this goes away or if some of these materials come down because the tariffs go away. Because again, a lot of times, rarely do they pull these materials back down. They really only do that with future stuff, with lumbers and plywoods and what it's the demand's doing, and those fluctuate. But toilets and faucets and shower doors and these other things, they don't generally fluctuate as much. As they slowly increase, they just kind of keep those increases. But when you look at a whole project and you go, okay, well, approximately 25 or 30% of this project cost is materials. And then you go, okay, well, now I take that and I say, if my materials are just that 30%, maybe they're $1,000 of a $3,000 project, and I'm looking at what the tariffs are going to do, and say all those are going up 10%, well, it's changing the materials by $100. It's changing the entire project by a third of that. So you're really, a project is only going to see an increase because of these things happening by 3 to 5%. So it I wouldn't let it hold you back and say, I'm going to wait and see, because you wait a year and your project goes down 5% because tariffs went away, but the cost of remodeling went up 10%. Well, you're still 5% more, and that's on the entire project. So now you're gaining. So it just, don't hesitate. At least take the chance and look into it and find out and see what's happening, because you might still be comfortable even when you see all that and understand what those changes may be or may not be. So just keep advised. And if you need any other advice, again, we're going to cut into our last break of this hour, but we will be right here to help you out. 314-436-7900. Anything you need, anything the mothers need, stick with us. Stay tuned. More to come. All right, here we go. Final segment of this hour, but don't fret. We have a whole nother hour for you. Plenty of information, topics, concerns, anything going on. I've got a lot of stuff lined up for you, but if you have anything on your plate lined up for me that you're curious about, feel free. We've got plenty of room for you. 314-436-7900. Love to hear from you. But going back through a few of the questions I've heard in the past couple of weeks, last week we spoke with Denny. He had an interesting question, because it was more about the company and the advice than it really was the electrical situation that he had going on. And he had a panel box that was questionable. There's you could either replace it, or you could replace all the breakers in it and do a repair. Was really looking for advice on how do you know who to trust and get good advice, and that you don't just have somebody trying to sell you something and upgrade you into something that maybe you wouldn't want if you knew all the information and had all the choices. And kind of like what I was just going back and talking about earlier, with asking a bunch of questions, talking about how long you're going to live in the home and what is your real plan for the home. And when you've got somebody that's going to be there and their daughter's going to want to live there, I performed a room addition on a home for a mother that basically it was to keep her in her home on the first floor. There wasn't a first floor bathroom space to live on the first floor. So we added kind of a small master suite addition with a simple bathroom that just basically made that house ready for her to live in for the remainder of the time that she could stay in that house. And the daughter lived blocks away. And that was part of the decision-making of the daughter basically saying, well, we've been here forever. We love this area. I don't want to go anywhere. So I will sell my house and I will move into my mom's house, so that then I can reap the same benefits. So like a 2-for-1 deal, it's a great thing. But when that's a hard question to know and answer, who gives good advice? Who do you trust? And the typical way most people in most places, and even like the Better Business Bureau says, is talk to multiple people, get multiple quotes. I would say if it's something like that, and you don't have anybody that you know that's a good idea, not even just for the quotes or the bids, but for the advice, for the listening, for asking the good open-ended questions and seeing how they respond, in knowing and understanding, okay, what's happening and why, and what are the different advice, and then you could make that decision for you. But the reason a lot of those, the Better Business Bureau and all these people say that, is because they haven't had great experiences. They don't have someone that they have this vested interest in that they know and feel. It's think of it as a car manufacturer. When maybe you've driven Ford and you've loved Ford trucks and you've had great success with Ford trucks and working and lasting and built Ford tough, so you always buy a Ford. Well, then you don't shop around and think, well, this one's $2,000 less, maybe I should try that. Maybe no, you know what you like, you know what you trust, and you've had good experiences, so you go back again. And that can be the same thing for your plumber, your electrician, for remodeling, like with a company like Mosby Building Arts, where I'm at. I have a list of long lifetime clients that have been here, and they do. They have that vested interest. They know what they're going to get over 95% of the time. They're like, this is it. This is how it's done. This is what I love. This is where I go. When you ask them, they would say, go here and get it done and be happy. You will absolutely love it. So that's kind of that difference. And of course, the Better Business Bureau, well, they can't have a vested interest. They have to have all these different thoughts and questions and awards they give out for having the best business processes and how good you are and your responses and all the things that you do. So that's kind of how they have to do it. So they're not going to say, yeah, call this company, man. They're the best. I've used them. I love them. That's where we go. So think about that too, is once you're there, you know, it's great. You know, you're going to stay there. So, hey, and speaking of staying there, stay with me right here. We're going to get into our hour break, but we've got plenty more to come. A whole nother hour for you. We'll be back after the news. All right, here we go. Home Improvement Show, hour two of my favorite 2 hours of the week. And we welcome in 97.1 FM listeners as well for your thoughts, your concerns, your questions, your comments, anything going on around your home. Let's see if we can help you out today. We've got a whole nother hour set aside right here for you. Anything you need, 314-436-7900. Get you right in here with me, right where you need to be. And we've been going over a lot of different questions, different scenarios that happen in my day-to-day running around, looking, listeners' calls, every kind of question that's been happening, and I got plenty more for you. But again, if you need anything, I'm right here, 314-436-7900. And last week, again, we had a really common call question that came in from a listener, Archie, about his roof dormer leak. Mosby had looked at it years ago, and he tried to fix a couple of different areas with different roofing companies. And unfortunately, it is a really common problem that we see. And it's generally because of kind of welding all of those different circumstances together. When you've got two kinds of roof and you've got shingles and flat kind of rolled roof material on a flatter area, when you've got sided walls with windows and openings coming down and connecting to that roof. I have two projects right now going on that one is kind of the mansard roof with the dormers sticking out, issues with that affects both those being connected, and the other is just a regular cedar shake roof with dormer front and back, window leaks, wall leaks, water getting in around those cedar shingles. And of course, it's a project that involves the window, the walls, the siding, the painting, the roofing, tying everything together. So it is a really common issue that we deal with quite a bit. But hey, let's we got a call in here with Norma, so let's jump over to Norma and see what is going on and how we can help. Are you there, Norma?
Yes, I am. I have a question. I live in a house that was built in 1956, and before my husband and I bought it, it had only had one garage on it. But sometime through the years, the next people that lived there added a second garage. So those garage floors are original from back then, and they that was two separate concrete pours. So as you know, they have different characteristics when it comes to moisture and it rising to the top. And, of course, they don't have any plastic under and no plastic moisture barrier like they put under concrete today.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, if I have that replaced, it's just a standard two-car size garage. It's not, I wouldn't call it oversized or anything. Can you give me kind of an estimate about what something like that might cost? And can you recommend a concrete company? Someone has recommended B&W Concrete to me. In fact, I think it was you guys.
Yes. No, and I would say 100% absolutely was us recommending B&W Concrete. And I've used them at my house, and we've been using them at Mosby Building Arts for for beyond 15 years or so. And we do that because of how they do things, their systems and their reliability, and we know what we're going to get. And so investment levels in a garage like that is very hard to determine, because so much is based on the company, the concrete that they're putting in, how hard are they working on that base underneath? Are they putting the vapor barrier? Are they putting any kind of wire mesh or anything in it to try and hold it together? There's so many degrees of that.
Right.
That I have literally seen when people take out sections of their driveway, and it's like one or two squares of a driveway. Mm-hmm. And I've seen people that have had estimates of doing that where they've seen things anywhere from $750 per like 10 by 10 square all the way up to 2000 or 2500 per square.
And they're 10 like, by 10 what's by 10 the, what feet?
Yeah. Yeah. Like feet.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and that's kind of old news, and sure. And that's a while back, and things have changed a lot in the past few years, but the difference in how they mix that concrete, how much Portland they put in it. So what type of mix are they using? There's different rocks you can put in it. So there's limestone that's been state approved, and there's limestone that's not. It's dirtier and dustier. It absorbs more than the other. How they finish it, what they put in it. So that price being triple could be the best option for you.
Yeah.
If you want it to last really well and work really well, and you want the vapor barrier and all of that. And that's what not everyone says.
Right. It's not going to be exposed to weather, obviously, but it would certainly be nice to have that moisture barrier underneath there. And I would rather have it done by a competent company like B&W, you know, than to just somebody else. My son, when he built a house out in House Springs, when they did the driveway, they put way too much chert in the driveway, and so that chert little rock started chipping out of there, and he complained to the builder about it, and they said, well, you put salt on the driveway. Well, he did not put salt on the driveway, and they wouldn't replace it, and I think that was kind of stinky, you know, because it really did start to break down really quick, and you could tell that the pour was not good.
Yes, it does, and there's areas finally starting to figure that out a little bit, too, that there is something in the way that it's done. So in some municipalities, they're starting to say, you know what, we do want a permit for a concrete driveway job because, and they're kind of standout cities that are trying to protect and get long-lasting values out of their neighborhoods, because when these neighborhoods are built, that's what happens. 10 years later, people are getting new driveways. I mean, who should need... I lived in a house in Florissant.
Me too.
The driveway was chipped up just like you were talking about on your son's, but it was like a World War II home.
Yeah.
That driveway had been there at least 50 years. And it looked bad.
Not too bad for that.
But it was still there, and it still lasted, and it was still working. And so they're coming out and saying, well, tell me what you're doing to this concrete, because we understand that it does diminish things. So a lot of people are like, oh, man, these cities are money-grabbing, saying they need a permit for concrete. Well, if they're money-grabbing for, like, $75, that's not a money grab. They're trying to protect their people. So I would definitely say you can – talk with B&W about replacing that, but also talk with them about what they're doing and just ask them, what's the real system, and why do you feel like yours is going to last longer
One of the things that bothered me also is that it's got good drywall in there and it's painted and everything, and I know they have to get in there and tear that out, and I just don't want them to mess up my garage walls.
Yeah. And the hardest part that a lot of people don't think of until they're getting ready for it or getting into the middle of it is there's a lot of stuff in everyone's garage.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Mine would not be hard
to clean out. Yeah.
Yeah.
There should be nothing in it. Yeah. Yep. Mine would not be too bad. It really wouldn't. So
mine would be bad. I have tools I barely ever use anymore, but can't let go of.
Funny.
I would be like
I don't have that.
Devastated.
I'm by myself. I got no workbench. When I need help, I have to call somebody. But anyway, hey, thank you so much for the advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to give B&W a call.
Yep, absolutely.
So I'm going to give them first shot at it. Okay.
All right, appreciate that. You are very welcome. Very welcome, Norma. Glad we could help out. And for everybody else out there, let's jump into our first break of this hour. But just like Norma, you can find me right here, 314-436-7900. I'm gonna talk when we get back briefly on salt on the concrete, because there is some stuff to that and what happens and how that happens. But stay tuned and don't go anywhere. All right, here we go. Plenty of time for everybody. Plenty of topics. Plenty of conversations. Going to touch here on the concrete a little bit more, but whatever you need, whatever question, topic, concern you have going on, I'm here for you. 314-436-7900. And definitely a great conversation with Norma about that different levels of concrete. And of course, the different levels of the company, the ones that work harder, care more, do better, are the ones doing those better mixes and trying to get products that will last. But the mention of salt on the driveway and wearing off the driveway, well, salt, even if you don't use that, and we never recommend using just salt, there's plenty of different products we talk about a lot in the winter on what's safer and better for concrete, pets, all of that. But when you think about it, they put salt all over the roads, and then you drive up your driveway, and that puts salt on your driveway. That puts salt in your garage. The comment of, well, it's never really going to get weather. Well, it's going to get hot. It's going to get cold. It's going to have snow falling off your car and water puddles in it in the winter. And so having it, that just improves the importance of getting a great product and getting the best product you can and then maintaining it, like for the driveway, sealing that driveway. You could kind of look at it and say, well, we did it well, we did it really good, and I'm not going to put salt on my driveway, but you're going to put salt on your driveway. When they drive down the street and it's just flying off the back of that truck, or when you pull your car in, these things are going to happen. So sealing that concrete and keeping it sealed and making sure it's working is a great thing to do. Caulking the expansion joints as they move and as those pads shift, they open up, and they get water down in there, and the control joints are the exact same. They crack. They put a control joint in the concrete to give it a place to crack so that hopefully it cracks there and not out in the open. It still can, but so caulking all of those areas to keep that moisture on top, seal that moisture on top, run it off, and keep the salt, the things, as much of that on top as you can, you're just going to get a better lasting value out of that product, that concrete. And the better that they do it and the better mix, when we put concrete in a scope of work, we're putting in there exactly what's being used. Is there wire mesh in it? Is there steel in it? What type of mix? How strong is the mix? You can see that in most companies are like, concrete. Well, we're going to show up with a truck and we're going to pour concrete. Well, what exactly is it is very important. And my concrete story at my house, because I bought my house, it was already built, everything was done, and talking about pads moving around and concrete moving and shifting. Well, I had an issue with my front walk at my house because of the street, because of the road. I'm on a curve and I had street creep, and the road was pushing my sidewalk into the front of my house, and it broke my sidewalk. I got a couple steps in the sidewalk to get to the porch, and it broke it at one of the steps. And when Larry from B&W came out and I showed it to him and we talked about it, and he came up with a really good plan to help handle that street creep. So we did a fix to try and stop the street creep from affecting my sidewalk. But it's still, if it were to move too much, if there was still something underneath, we just wanted to guarantee what they did. So he came up with this awesome plan about making it a little bit longer and putting one on top of the other with some plastic in between, so that if the lower sidewalk tried to push towards the house, the upper sidewalk wouldn't be 100% connected to it. And it would allow some movement there without putting pressure on my porch, the foundation of the house. I mean, street creep is a big issue when you have it, and it can affect your house all the way, including the foundation wall of the house. So we came up with this great fix on how to do this. And then when my wife heard what it cost, she was like, "You have got to be kidding me." And I'm like, "Well, we got the best concrete, the best company. We got everything we need, and we've got who we know and who we love and who we trust." And I basically told her, there's no doubt in my mind we could find a concrete guy out there, a smaller company, a guy, he'll get some stuff. They will absolutely do it. If I instruct him, maybe he'll do it the same way with my instructions. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know that he will, and I'm not going to be here when he does it. And I guaranteed her we could get it done for half price. But I wasn't comfortable with that because I wanted to be more reassured in who I was using and how I trusted that. And so I offered her, find a concrete guy. You go ahead, call some people, do all this. But I'm telling you right now, I know what I'm doing may cost somewhat more, but I'm not going to have to look back at that. And I'm good with that. And so eventually, I finally just called him and said, "Yeah, we need to get this on the schedule books. Let's go. Let's get it going and get it done." And we paid for the service that we loved. And that's what happens in this industry. And I haven't had a problem with that since. And it's been years and everything's working great and fine. And I don't know that I would have gotten that same product, the same mix, the same solution, done the same way out of anybody else. And that's what a lot of this is about. And that's why you go to who you trust and all of that, just to reassure that you know you feel better and you've got someone with integrity. There's so many things that change that environment for you and the company and what they're going to do and how they're going to perform all that. And then there's building practices. So I've got something I want to go over because it's a really interesting kind of meetings that I had right away, kind of close to one another, within 2 weeks of one another, basically a couple weeks apart, seeing two separate houses with the exact same issue. And I'm waiting for the third one that's got the exact same issue, because, you know, things come in triplets, they say, you know, the third time, and they arrive in threes. So I'm waiting to see another porch like this. But I've got two separate houses, two separate porches, built the same way with the same exact issue going on. But this is going to be a little bit of a teaser, because we're going to get into a break here inside of like the next minute. But here's what's so strange about it. And maybe it'll open everyone's eyes a little bit to the builder and how you build and what they do, and really focusing on that, because one house has this issue, was built in 1849. It is 176 years old in Benton Park. And it has this front porch issue because of the way that it was built. The second home was built in 2010. This home is barely 15 years old. It was built the exact same manner as the other one, with the front porch, and has the exact same issue happening the exact same way. So, wow. Have we not learned in 176 years, possibly, better ways to build things? So I can get more into that after this break. If you have anything like that, you have anything going on that concerns you, that interests you, I can pause for a phone call. Don't worry about that. 314-436-7900 is how you're going to find me. Stay tuned. We'll have the rest of that story to come right after this. All right, welcome back, St. Louis, to the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here, looking for help you with all your needs, anything going on around your house. A lot of great topics we're going over today. I got a great story set up right here for you, but if you need something out of me, feel free. Give us a shout, 314-436-7900. We'll get you on. We'll get you figured out. We'll get you some help. For now, I want to get back into this story of the two front porches built basically 171 years apart, and built in basically the exact same manner. And the foundation comes out to the front edge of the front porch. That is kind of the main thing that happens with them. So there's on the old Benton home, there's wood framing with a wood subfloor that had limestone placed on top of it, and it's caving in, and the wood is rotting, and water's been getting in there. Now, on the Benton home, when building that, in the theory on having that, was a lot different back then, building in Benton Park 100-something years ago, because they actually have kind of like a door opening, and there was kind of storm, like wood storm doors that you could close. So if you think of what we were doing in our houses, and I've spoken a lot today about setting up the home, figuring out what you need, how you use it, all of these things to help you get your home the way you need it for you. Well, 100-something years ago, when storms came, they had storm window shutters and they had storm door shutters, so they could close these doors and keep a lot of that rain out of that porch area. Some would still come around, but not nearly as much as without them. And we had servants, we had people that did that. They were around, and That's what was happening in the homes back then. So when bad storms would come, yeah, they would shut all that up. Today's world, it's happening more often. It's different. No one's around. Both people are at work. Kids are at school. It's in the homeowner, even we spoke about those doors, and he's like, that's just never going to happen. Not in today's world. I don't have a servant that's just here that can find out a storm's coming and close these doors. So we need to build this in a way that hopefully makes it last a little bit longer. And for him, in the it's falling apart right now scenario. Now, let's fast forward here to a home built in 2010. You may look at that and think, okay, well, maybe it was just not a great builder. Maybe it was the house was just not built really well. No, this is probably the best built house in St. Louis. When I was talking a couple weeks ago about how to fortify houses and how nowadays looking at our homes, we're going to start to change how we build and we're going to, the focus is going to shift. Now that we've learned so much about energy efficiency, we're going to learn a lot more about fortifying houses and making them last better for these storms and hurricanes and hail and all these different things. So this house that has this issue is built like not many houses in St. Louis. It has concrete exterior walls, that it's a foamed form system with concrete in the middle. The interior structural walls are the same concrete. The floor joists are steel. The trusses are steel. They're set into the concrete of these structural and exterior walls. So this house is probably one of the safest houses around. It's built totally, totally well. It's built fortified in a way that it's going to last through a fire better. It's going to last through storms better. It has materials on the outside that don't really burn that much. The way this house is built is amazing. But it has this porch that they wanted this kind of walk-up front area, and the door is set back. So the floor joists, the foundation comes around, the basement stairs actually come down right underneath of this area, and the same ceramic tile that's in the foyer goes straight out and out onto the porch. So, and it goes down the rise to the concrete, and that's just not a great product that's going to last well, that it's going to last a year. If you have a 12-month workmanship warranty on a new built house, it will last that, but not much more after that, and definitely 15 years at the most. And there's wood rot on the subfloor and the drywall they had to tear out underneath, and now they're trying to come up with a system to dry this in better. We spoke about all these different scenarios, like moving the door towards the outside so less of it's on the outside. Right now it's a pretty deep, like 4-foot area of tile outside. We spoke about how tile's not the best product to have out there when you have wood underneath it. What do you put underneath? How do you try? And there truly isn't a great way to build something in that manner. And in the newer home, the homeowners were like, well, we had all this going on. We built the house and we were giving birth to twins and we were trying to do, and we were busy. And of course they owned a computer store and IT people, and they've done really well in that business. And they're literally looking at me going, I wish we would have caught this. If we didn't have as much going on, we would have probably caught it and maybe changed the circumstance. And the whole time I'm thinking, why didn't the builder catch it? Why would you do it like that? Why wouldn't you say something? Why wouldn't you go, man, I just don't know. Well, if you have a 1-year warranty and that's all you got to worry about, maybe that's why. I can't really speak for these people, but I can tell you time and time again, the different scenarios like that in new built products that I've seen that are not that old, and or even some in blueprints that it hasn't even been built yet. I was looking at a set of blueprints a few years back, and I'm visiting with this family, and they're like, we've got this big giant addition we want to put on the back. We already got the blueprints. We went to the architect. We did all this. We're doubling the size of the house. There's a screen porch on the side of the house. It's screened in. And I'm looking at the prints and I'm going, well, the foundation goes underneath the screened in porch. So underneath the screened in porch is a full 8 foot, 9 foot, 10 foot, whatever deep basement pour underneath the screened porch. Water's going to blow right in through the screen. There's a note that's like waterproof floor. What waterproof floor? How do you waterproof a floor that's going to have walls around it that are like 3 foot high and then screens above that? I mean, there's just not a great way to do that. I'm looking at it going, do you really need that basement space? Because you will have issues when this is built this way at some point. However you do this flooring, you're going to eventually get water through it. And let me rephrase that. You will have water issues with this at some point. It may be next year. It may be 15 years like this front porch, but you will. So it's just not a great way to do that. And offering up something different is just, I put that responsibility on the architect. I put that responsibility on the builder, the people doing this. And to really, why would you put that responsibility on someone that owns a computer store? It's they got to do the research. They got to figure this out. They're trying to make themselves smarter than the builder. And that's kind of a shame. And I've seen all kinds of these. Another one I saw was basically a brick patio. It's a brick patio flush with the grass. You can walk right out into the yard. Underneath that brick patio is about 8 inches of concrete with steel, with everything in it, lightweight concrete, because there's a full poured basement underneath that concrete patio. So you've got a foundation wall that ends about 12 inches below the ground. And then you've got a concrete patio about 8 inches thick on top of that with a seam, because they're poured at different times. And then you've got brick on top of that to get you flush with the ground. That patio leaked into that basement space every time it rained and the ground got saturated. It was just forcing water over that foundation top. The ground pressure, the water, the weight of the concrete sitting on that, it's just, there's always water running down those foundation walls. So we had to come up with a fix to do that. If you look at a project like that as a team with production people and with someone that's been in the building and with the designer and with the architect, if we would have designed that, I would have said, well, we need to do something to protect from that. That's going to be crazy. There's going to be leaks. That's just not a great idea. And sometimes these ideas seem okay, but they're really not the best things to do. And having the foresight and seeing so much of this is really hopefully what helps. And looking at it through 2, 3, 4 pairs of eyes rather than just one hopefully helps get to these better products, better solutions, and better projects that have better lasting value for everybody. So, hey, we're going to get into our final break here. If you need anything in the next segment, we can squeeze you in for sure. 314-436-7900. Stay tuned. More to come right after this. All right, everybody. Final segment, Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris here for you. If you got something you want to try and squeeze in, hurry up. Give us a call. 314-436-7900. In the meantime, I'm going to get a question out of the way. I've been going over a bunch of different common conversations we have, common questions we get all the time. And in the remodeling industry, figuring out projects for clients, a lot of fireplaces going into basements. I've had this question in the past month or so in a basement we were figuring out. And the question is about a vent-free gas fireplace. If it's hard to put in a vented fireplace in the basement, what are my feelings about a vent-free gas fireplace. And there's a lot of reasons to do that, but understand we really wouldn't recommend it for starters. But the pros to a vent-free fireplace is it is easier to install. Well, there's no vent, so it will cost less when doing it. The heat energy efficiency in these are the best in the market because nearly all the heat generated stays in the room. Nothing goes out through the flue or any of that. But when you're looking at the cons to that, the indoor air quality concerns, the risk of burning gas, it's releasing carbon dioxide, water vapor, trace pollutants, all of this into your indoor air quality. So it's definitely a big thing. And there's a lot of cities out there and municipalities that are banning these and saying, absolutely not, you can't have them. Some of them have some sort of restrictions and stuff. So it's definitely something that we wouldn't recommend. It can seem great at front, but not necessarily overall. But hey, we've got a couple minutes left here. Let's get to Rosemary real quick and see what's going on, and hopefully we can squeeze this answer in. You there?
Hi.
Hey,
hi.
How you doing?
Yes. Fine. How are you?
Good.
Good. I had a question. I had a patio poured, and it has the, you know, where they poured sections. Should that be cut? I mean, it's butted together, so should it be cut, and should it have something in it to protect those lines along where they poured four sections?
Sure. And so it depends it depends on how they did it, as far as there's two different types of joints. There's control joints where they put grooves in there and they're basically giving that concrete a weak spot to crack at. And that's a control joint. And then there's actual expansion joints where it's separated from one pad to the other. And there's a kind of a board in there, or a black board or something like that, that creates that separation. So it sounds like you have control joints, and they don't need to be cut. But what I would recommend is watching them. Because if it grooves down and that concrete's solid, you can seal that patio and water will run off and not soak in, and that'll be great. As soon as that control joint gets a crack in it and that crack starts to open up, and you can see that water's going to run down in there and get underneath that concrete, then I would caulk that control joint to fill it kind of flush with the top, to cover that crack and to get that water running away and not going underneath that concrete patio.
Yeah, I was worried about water getting underneath.
Yep.
So is there something I could put in there now to prevent it? I mean, like a silicone something, or I don't know, whatever.
There's a urethane concrete caulk that you can caulk in there to cover that up. But if there's not a crack in it and it's solid concrete, and if you've sealed the concrete, it really, you don't have to do it until there's a crack, because the water will just run off and it won't go down in there as long as the concrete's sealed. And even if it's not sealed, it's just going through the pores. It's not really just rushing down inside of a crack. So you could caulk it with a concrete urethane, but it doesn't really matter, and it isn't really going to change the circumstance or help until that crack develops.
Okay. So it is exposed aggregate. Does that make a difference?
Nope. It'll be just waiting for that crack and caulking it when you finally get a crack in there. And exposed aggregate is a great product, and it's very long-lasting because you don't have that top layer where you get the spalling marks and the concrete coming apart from the rocks underneath it, because all those rocks are exposed. So that is definitely one of my favorite concrete finishes, to have on a patio for long-lasting value. So you've done really well, and keep it sealed, keep it caulked. Hey, we're completely out of time. Thanks for the call, Rosemary. For everybody else, happy Mother's Day. Be good to each other. Be good to your homes, and I will talk to everybody next week.